Do you have any idea as to what will happen to a believer, to a Christian, when God completes his purpose in Christ? Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The will of God has a plan. It has a purpose. It has an objective. He moves things to a point of conclusion. I know that sometimes in our life, things seem to go on the same day after day after day, and it looks as though things just won't ever be any different. They will. We may have the feeling that nothing will ever really be concluded. It will. God will get it done. He has a plan. He has an objective. He'll get there. In the life of Jesus of Nazareth, God was always active, and yet there were times when he moved along through to a point that we would say like to a conclusion. And this is the case here where we are now. We are studying in the Gospel of John in the 17th chapter. This is the great chapter of prayer. We sometimes call this the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's so much of his praying to God is set forth in this particular chapter for us to see. Now, in this particular portion of Scripture where we're reading, and it's been true all the way from, way back in from chapter 14 on, 14, 15, 16, 17, all along in here, at the time that these things happened, the Lord Jesus was just expecting to be arrested by the Jewish people, by the Roman soldiers, and taken into court. Things were actually going to come to a conclusion so far as his life was concerned. And in this prayer, you can feel that, as we shall be seeing. Notice now in chapter 17, and we will begin to read at the first verse, and then you will watch this as we go along. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And of course we know elsewhere, different places, the Lord Jesus points out that he did not need to speak audibly for his Father to hear him. He didn't need to use words that could be heard for his Father to hear him. That his Father would know what he was doing, and he would know that that the Son wanted to obey the Father. God would know that. But he oftentimes did things openly, outwardly, so that other people could see. And here, as he comes to the climax of his career, when he's going to come to the big, agonizing end of all that happens to him, and he's going to be crucified, he takes time out for prayer. And we have an opportunity of seeing this prayer and seeing what he says in it. So I read to you in the first verse, Father, the hour is come. When he says, anytime you find that phrase, the hour is come, is as much as saying, the time for the showdown is here. We've come to the time now when something is to happen. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Lord Jesus prayed, Now, Father, go ahead and finish it. When he says the hour is come, the time is here for action. Glorify thy Son. Get the whole work done that you were going to do in him. That thy Son also may glorify thee, that the Son may accomplish the work that he came for. You'll remember that some days ago, in speaking of the word glorify, I used a very common expression, just one taken from everyday life, when I said, to get the job done, to bring things through to a completion. And that's the meaning of it here, I do believe. Glorify thy Son. Complete the work that you're going to do in him. Bring him through to completion, that thy Son also may glorify thee, so the Son may get his work done. And you and I know what his work was. When you consider and ask yourself the question, what did the Lord Jesus Christ come to do? We'll say right away, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is, the seeking is up to the point of finding, and then the saving is up to the point of bringing us into the very presence of God. That's the whole thing, and that's what he came for. So here when he says, glorify thy Son, complete the job so far as thy Son is concerned, and in this particular thing, that thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now bring this on through to completion. Let's say the Lord Jesus is praying. Move on through now to the end. Verse 3, he prays and says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Many, many times we've quoted that, and I'm not sure that it's always meaningful to us. I don't know for sure how much I can leave in your mind, but this is the Scripture, and this is the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, so as you listen to it, try to understand, and if you do not understand it immediately, remember that in time it will come to you. Here we have, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." The word "life eternal" refers evidently to the life that comes from God. Eternal life is not just this life that I have in this world going on forever. It is the life of God, and it's called life eternal because God's eternal. When he says this is life eternal, he said this will be the result of life eternal being in you. This will be the consequence of you having life eternal. And remember that in verse 2, the Lord Jesus pointed out that God the Father had given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now when he gives eternal life to us, when he gives eternal life to me, which is the life of God in my soul, it will be that I will know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That they may know thee, the only true God. Now the word "know" here means far more than just to hear about or to learn the story in a sense. This is to actually recognize and appreciate what has happened. That they might know thee, that they would really recognize the only true God and appreciate the only true God. When this expression occurs, the only true God, the only God who is real. Because there are people who have other gods, and gods many, and lords many, but they're always of the imagination. They always plan out something and think out something on themselves. Now, so far as the Lord, Almighty God is concerned, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was true. He was real. This wasn't just anybody's opinion. He is the eternal God that made the heavens and the earth. And this is life eternal, that they would recognize the only true God. The only God that actually is real, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now in the next verse, in verse 4, you will actually see here a good instance of how you can get the meaning of the word glorified. Look in verse 4. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Well, there you have it. Those are two parallel statements. The one means the other. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have brought all the things that pertain to God through to completion." How did you do it? "I finished the work that he gave me to do." And by the way, when you say, when he has this expression, "I have finished the work which the Father gave me to do," this is brings out the idea that the actual working that the Lord Jesus Christ did here upon earth was a matter of finishing what God had in mind. And there is a sense in which God's hand is in everything that occurs. He arranges providentially for everything that happens. And now when we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we go ahead and do the things which the Father has already prepared and has already set up. This is, we read in the book of Ephesians, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before prepared that we should walk in them. And here he says in verse 4, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And this, of course, was to the glory of God. So in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Bring it through to completion. God's whole plan in Christ Jesus. He sent him into this world in human form, and in human form he was to die. Then he was to be raised from the dead. Then he was to be brought up into the very presence of God with the risen, glorified body. But he was to bring that body right up with him, right into the very presence of God. And the Lord Jesus here is praying almost that this should be done. Almost you're going to feel it in the way what he says. "Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Bring me up into the right hand of God. Let me stand at the right hand of God and be there in prayer. That's the way it was before I ever came into this world, and that's the way it's going to be now. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So he says about these disciples that he had with him, he had manifested the name of God unto these men that God gave to him and that he kept for him. And they have kept thy word, they've cherished thy word. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I have shown them, I have manifested, I've explained them things to them. I've told them about the things of God, and they have listened to these things, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast are given of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying that these apostles that he had round about him now, that he was praying to the Father, the Lord Jesus is saying to the Father, they have followed through and been responsive as I have revealed things to them. They're worthy of this glory to be shown the things that pertain to God. This we have in these opening verses in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. We're just on the beginning of a long chapter of prayer, and we shall go on with this tomorrow. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing as we think on these things, and help us to understand them, and fit us into thy plan and purpose, so that what we do down here upon earth, we can feel its meaningfulness when we see what it happens to thee, and happens in thy will, as we serve thee. So add thy blessing for thy name's sake. Amen.